Involved in the tziv today. In the beginning of Parshas Shemini, everything is ready. All the materials have been brought. We're ready for the inauguration. We've read about it in Tetzaveh. We've read about it in Pekudei. Now it's happening. So this is the third time we've read about the Milurim ceremony and how to launch the Mishkan. And in the very beginning, Vayomer Moshe, Zeha Davar Asher Tziva Hashem Tasu. Once again, Moshe is instructing them. All the materials are standing there in the Chatzar Ol Moed, in the Chatzar Mishkan. V'yirah Lechem Kivod Hashem. What is this pasuk adding? Okay, so it's an interesting question. Stage two towards understanding this question is the Sifra. Sifra is a Medrash Halacha. Sifra darshins this pasuk. Chazal noticed that, listen to this language, sounds like a Musar Sefer. What is Moshe telling them? Oso Yetzer Hara, Haviru Milibchem. Take out that Yetzer Hara. Eliminate that Yetzer Hara. So what Yetzer Hara is Moshe referring to? The Ego Yetzer Hara? What is he referring to? Oso Yetzer Hara, Haviru Milibchem. And instead of the Yetzer Hara that you should eradicate or eliminate, v'tiyu kulchem biyira achas. You should all conform to one form of yira shamayim, uve'etza achas, and one approach, l'sharis lefnei hamakom, to serve Hashem, kishem shu yichidi ba'olam, just like Hashem is exclusive, there's only one Hashem, kach tiyeh avodaschem biyuchedes levanav. Your avodah should also be conforming and standard and absolute, because Hashem is, there's only one Hashem, your avodah should take one form. And he quotes a pasuk in Devarim, which we'll talk about later, that seems to have nothing to do with any of us. So there are three parts in this Sifra, in this Taras Kohanim, that are very odd. What is the Yetzer Hara that Moshe is warning them about, and why is he warning them about this Yetzer Hara now? What does it mean your avodas Hashem should be standardized and uniform, just like Hashem is exclusive and indivisible and distinctive? And what pasuk is he quoting? Those are the three elements of this medrash that the Netziv is about to tackle. And I've never seen anyone discuss this. It's really fascinating to see him deconstruct this medrash. So the Netziv, and it's a bit of a period piece because he's writing in the end of the 19th century, and Reform and Conservative Judaism are stating new ways to serve Hashem, unbounded by classic halachic fidelity and classic halachic structure. So there's a little bit of a polemic here, but not really. You don't feel that there's a polemic piece. He says that Moshe was already aware that in the Jewish nation, Jewish people, I'll use my words, and Siv doesn't use his words, there's been a shift. If you look at the end of Shmos, challenges, immaturity, fear, unknown, Avodah Zarah, is Hashem with us? There's a lot of fear. That has shifted. This is all me, but I'm setting up the Netziv. Now that the Beis HaMikdash has been built, the Mishkan has been built, there's a lot of confidence, there's a lot of passion, a lot of desire for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We want Hashem. I love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He forgave us. He was so generous to us. There's a tshuka, a passion, and a desire. Sometimes that desire, like a river, can overflow the edges. And I want to reach out, right? In love, there's no boundaries. There's no formality to love with your wife or with your child. You just want to express it freely and authentically. So I want to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I want to find ways to love Him and find ways to express that love and find ways to manifest that love, even though it's not necessarily based on the guidelines and parameters of the Mishkan ceremony. Now, the Netziv says this is going to be a recurring theme throughout Sefer HaMidbar. This is going to be how he explains the Mapilim, who wanted Hashem and wanted Eretz Yisrael, even though Hashem had already said, now's not the time. You've already broke history. You have to recover for 40 years. This is going to be how he explains the people who joined Korach. They weren't sinners. They were people who wanted to express their love and their commitment to Hashem through Ketores, even though it wasn't the normal authorized Ketores. Fascinatingly, this is not how he explains Nadav and Avihu. If you ask me, this is exactly the profile of Nadav and Avihu. This is a special day, of celebratory day, of jubilee, of joy. Even though this isn't a standard korban, we could be mocking it Eish Zara, because unique circumstances call for unique korbanos. He doesn't explain it that way. So Moshe is warning about Oso Yetzahara. Now, that's step number one. That's what Moshe is concerned about. Moshe is a little bit prescient. He sees the end of Bamidbar already latent in Parsha Shemini. Now, what's the danger? What's the danger here? So if you ask me, the danger is the classic balance between Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem. This is too far. This is disrespectful. This is compromising Hashem's transcendence. That's essentially the Nadav and Avihu punishment. Mikro v'yakadesh. Nara levim v'kdeshecha. Kadosh Baruch Hu is to remind us, this is a base of Mikdash. You're standing in front of Hashem. Hashem's not your brother. You don't treat him like your friend. Kadosh Baruch Hu is b'shamayim. He's melech ma'achim lechem. It's this restoration of Ahava and Yira. That's not what the Netziv says. He says the danger is twofold. And if you listen to Chazal, it's twofold. First of all, just at a social level, you're going to have diverse splintered groups, each finding their own expression for Avas. Oh, your Avas Hashem is, I don't know, going through a mountain, talking to the sheep. And your Avas Hashem is, I don't know, you'll make up some ritual. And your Avas Hashem. So when there's no regulatory process and there's no guidelines and there's no standardization, then we just become a ragtag assortment of people looking for Avas Hashem in a chaotic, almost anarchic fashion. And you see there's a lot of anarchy in the world of paganism, actually, where there's no boundaries because gods are human-crafted. A lot of anarchy, there's a lot of chaos. Everyone's making up their own rituals. Everyone's making up their own shrines. You see that a little bit today in the modern America, where people are concocting their own brands of religion, a little this and a little Eastern religion, a little Catholicism and a little shrine and a little nature-loving, and people are just concocting. People have literally their own shrines at home, their own bamas. And there's just no viscosity. There's no commonality. You're not worshiping HaKadosh Baruch Hu as one people. There's power. There's energy by being a group of people standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why the matter says, Te'ekulchem b'yira achas uve'etza achas l'sharis hamakom. Yira achas ve'etza achas. Again, the word yira is meant to counterpoise Ava. Yira achas ve'etza achas afle hamakom. But then the end of the medrash has a different issue, which is a lot more theological, not just socio-religious, that you'll splinter into different groups, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one. And our message in this world is to convey that oneness. And we've struggled for thousands of years to teach the world that this chaos and dichotomy and diversity of the world can be reduced to one creator. And when we reflect that oneness, we are theologically reflecting HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the need to conglomerate and aggregate Avodas Hashem is not just, oh, we want to avoid disunity, we want to avoid schisms, we want to avoid strife, we want to make it more organized and collective rather than have different splinter groups from a social standpoint. But it's also a theological imperative to be a mirror reflection of Hashem. That's why when we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, this is me, not the Nitziv, our boldest announcement of Hashem's Echdos, of His indivisibility, not just His exclusivity, we try to say it together. That's why the Chazan raises his voice. It's based on the Gemara in Yuma. In the base of Mikdash, they all recited Shema together. There's a little candelabra, and when the sun hit that candelabra of Helene Amalka, it sent radial sparks out, and everyone saw the sparks, and they knew they didn't have watches. So now it was actually a second after Netzachama. So they were compromised on saying Shema Netzachama by a second or two in order to say it together. Because if we say it together, then our assertion of Shema Yisrael, Shema Elokeinu, Shema Echad is reinforced by our unified statement. So the need to avoid this rush towards unlicensed and unregulated Avas Hashem is not just a socially practical need, but is also a theologically compelling need. And that's why Moshe says it on the eve of entering the Mishkan, Zeh hadavar asher tziva Hashem. Follow the guidelines, v'yera lechem kavod Hashem, and then you will bring kavod HaKadosh Baruch Hu into this world, because your oneness will reflect His oneness, and at a practical level, you won't have the splintering and fractured group. Now, what pasuk is quote? This is fascinating. The pasuk the Medrash quotes is a pasuk in Devarim. So it really is just a manifesto, a really toward the force of the Netziv. It's in Perek Yud pasuk Tes. In Perek Yud. I'm sorry. Which pasuk is in Perek Yud? Perek Yud pasuk Tes Zayin. Listen to the pasuk. It doesn't make sense. You should remove the foreskin of your heart. And that's all the Medrash quotes. Why is that the pasuk being quoted in the context of Shemini? That's part of Moshe's message. The Sifra doesn't quote the end of the pasuk. The Netziv is smart enough to know all of the Torah. He says, oh, the end of the pasuk is what the Sifra wants. Asher lo yisapanim v'lo yikach shochat. Hashem doesn't play favorites and won't accept a bribe. Now that's a joke. What, you try to bribe Hashem? Hashem will give you a lot of money. Hashem, I'll make it Muhammad, real famous Rabbi Taragin Chalak. It's just so off. When you think about that pasuk, Hashem's not going to take shochad. It obviously is a spiritual shochad. We are trying to maneuver or manipulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu in your small mind based on, now I think a lot of people do that. Hashem, I'll do this for you, you do this for me, which is when you reach religious maturity, it seems very infantile. But there is one form of shochad that is seems to be legitimate, that the Torah is saying Hashem isn't interested. That's the other why it would be a laughable pasuk. You're not going to bribe Hashem with money. You're not going to bribe him with food. You're not going to bribe him with human manipulation. Oh, I'll do this for you. Like, what does that even mean? You bribe HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But there is one form of bribe that you think is, well, I love you so much, I'm willing to give everything for you. And I'm willing to be Moser Nefesh for you. And I'm willing to give my life for you. oh, that may be a shochat. That already counts. And does count if it's done in the right way. But if your love and your passion, which you have, that does count, that does factor in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's decision-making, but if that isn't under the regulatory protocols and procedures of Zeh HaDavar Asher Tzivah Hashem, I'm not interested in that. So that's why the Sifra, in stressing the Yetzer Hara that Moshe was worried about in the beginning of Shemini, and the dangers of that Yetzer Hara, which are both social, as the Sifra says, as well as theological, as the Sifra says, the Sifra backs it up with this pasuk in Devarim Menekev, Asher Lo Yisapanim V'lo Yikach Shoch. The problem is the Sifra doesn't quote the end of the pasuk, the Yetziv is smart enough to know that's what the Sifra means, Asher Lo Yikach Shoch. These are really long Yetzivs that try to tackle these complex Sifras and break them down into very, very powerful messages that, according to the Netziv, will haunt Moshe and Am Yisrael in Sefer Bamidbar. Because it's a whole Sefer Bamidbar after the Mishkan is built, after the Mishkan and Vayikra, in the end of Bamidbar, all these things will rise to the surface. Already in Shemini, Moshe is aware of it. Okay? Good morning, everyone. Good morning.